You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We all know President-elect Obama learned a thing or two pursuing his political science degree, but how much does he know about physics? My next guest says a brilliant circle of science advisors is not enough to help Obama make the right decisions about counterterrorism, energy, climate change. He insists that Obama needs to understand some basic physics instead. But not to worry. This physics prof's curriculum is a bit more fun than solving problem sets with friction planes or blocks on springs. Joining me now to talk about those presidential physics is my guest, Richard Mueller, professor in the Department of Physics at UC Berkeley. He's also a faculty senior scientist at Lawrence Berkeley Lab in California and author of the book Physics for Future Presidents, The Science Behind the Headlines. He joins us from Berkeley. Welcome to the program, Dr. Mueller.
Delighted to be here.
Why is that? Why are science advisors not good enough for the president?
Well, the president, as he says, as President-elect Obama has already said, the buck stops there. Science advisors tend to know a lot about science, but they are less educated on economics, on diplomacy, on other national issues. In the end, their advice will be based largely on only the scientific issues. The president is the one who has to make the final balance. And he has to understand, what are credit default swaps. He has to understand the difference between Sunni and Shiite. And he has to understand the difference between a plutonium bomb and a uranium bomb if he's going to make the wise decisions.
And you think that by reading your book, Physics for Future Presidents, he'll get caught up on all of this?
I think a lot of it is in there. It's the start. The key thing I believe is that when he has science advisors, their role is not to give their opinions on things, but to educate him on the issue in such a way that he understands it well enough to be able to make a proportionate decision.
Let's talk about some of those big decisions he's going to be making. Let's start with energy. What can the president-elect learn about energy from physics?
Well, there's several fundamental things. One is that gasoline is amazingly good. It's not a conspiracy that causes our love affair with gasoline. It's the fact that it has a huge amount of energy per gallon. This is what makes it a weapon of choice for terrorists. But the price is so low that it's very difficult to find alternative energies that can really compete. They are developing, but many of them aren't quite here yet. And that's the challenge. The challenge is the low cost of energy. There is, if you take 1 pound of our best lithium-ion batteries, the kind we use in computers, and compare that to the energy in 1 pound of gasoline, the gasoline has 100 times more energy.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you say 1 pound of hydrogen has a lot more energy than 1 pound of gasoline.
Yeah, it has about 4 times the energy, but it takes up more space. A pound of hydrogen takes a lot more volume. So if you compare it per gallon, then it turns out that gasoline actually has more energy per gallon by about a factor of 3 or 4, more energy per gallon than hydrogen. That's why I believe we have not followed up on the hydrogen economy. It takes a lot of space.
One thing you do emphasize throughout your book is sort of back to the future. And by that, I mean energy conservation as being the quickest, easiest thing that we could do right now to save energy.
That is the one thing that I wish the past administration had put more emphasis in. The best kind of energy, the cheapest kind of energy, the energy that addresses both energy independence, energy security, and also global warming, is energy not used. Our use of energy per dollar of gross national product has actually been improving at about 2% per year. This is really good news. If we keep on improving at this rate and maybe with government help speed it up a little bit, it really reduces the energy needs of the future. Conservation, I call it comfortable conservation because it doesn't mean, changing the temperature in your house to save energy. It means making a wise investment in insulation in your house that'll pay back more than almost any other investment you can make.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Also, if you want to do a Twitter, we could do the @ at SciFry, and that will get you a Twitter question in there. Of course, Jimmy Carter tried this. It worked to a certain extent, but he wasn't around very long after that.
Well, the other problem back then was that prices crashed, and as they're doing now, fossil fuel prices crashed, and what seemed an attractive investment turned out not to be attractive. Conservation always makes sense. And Carter, I think, made a fundamental mistake. And he tried to get people in favor of conservation by saying, turn down your thermostat in winter and shiver a little bit more, but put on a sweater, or turn up the thermostat in summer and sweat a little bit more, but it's good for the country. I think that had a negative impact on conservation. The fact is, the right way to do conservation is to get cars that are equally good, but use less gasoline. Set the thermostat wherever you want, but put the right insulation in your home so that it doesn't change your standard of living, but you use less energy. Amory Lovins called this negawatts. It's a term I like, negative watts. Energy not used, energy left in the ground is the best kind.
Let's talk a bit about counterterrorism. Terrorism has reared its ugly head in the past days. What can physics teach President-elect Obama about that?
The energy that was released when the North Koreans detonated their nuclear bomb was about 400 tons of TNT equivalent, 400 tons. The energy released when the terrorist, when one plane crashed into one of the World Trade Center buildings was 900 tons, over twice the energy of the North Korean nuke. I think there's a lot of public fear of the terrorism of nukes, and we're putting a lot of money into making sure that no terrorist ever attacks us with nukes. Nukes are really very, very hard for a terrorist. But jet fuel, gasoline, a huge amount of energy in it, 15 times the energy of TNT per pound. And the fact that that a terrorist attack on New York City in each building released more than twice the energy of the North Korean nuke, I think, puts these issues in perspective.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Talking with Richard Muller, author of Physics for Future Presidents. Do you know if the president-elect has a copy of your book or not?
Well, it's very close. At least
how close? At least it's on the nightstand.
Well, I know that Michelle Obama has a copy, and she has promised to give it to Barack. That was 2 weeks ago. I don't know whether that has happened yet or not. Several other people close to him also have copies.
That's pretty close. And after seeing her on Barbara Walters, I think she knows how to get the message to him.
Yeah, she says that he loves to read, so yeah. I'm hoping that he will have the time. He has so many problems right now. You know, the president is the guy who has to understand everything, the economics, the diplomacy. The physics needs to be on that list. We live in a high-tech world in which a large number of our issues have an important high-tech component, and we need to have a higher level of understanding in the White House. Obama is certainly the person who can understand this stuff faster than almost anybody else.
And I think what's always missing in journalism and in advice to a president and a response to it is the follow-up question, knowing what that follow-up should be. And I guess in this case, if you have some grounding in the physics of what we're talking about, you can say, well, what if this happened or that scenario intelligently?
Absolutely right. I take the example of solar power, where people say, well, solar power is so diffuse, it's not very good. The follow-up question is, why does diffuse mean not good? Right. If you had to use solar power, you'd have to cover the whole country with solar cells. And the follow-up question is, but I thought sunlight had a gigawatt of power, that's like a nuclear power plant, in one square kilometer. Throw in the inefficiency, and you need a square mile for the equivalent of a gigawatt power plant. That's not so bad. If the president knows these fundamentals, then he will recognize which one of his advisors are telling him things that make sense.
1-800-989-8255. Let's talk about space exploration. What could you recommend to the president that he should know about space exploration?
Space exploration consists of two things. It's humans in space for the adventure of it because it excites the public imagination. And it's also the great scientific advances that we've made, especially in my mind, exploring all of the planets. And, you know, we've discovered that every moon of every planet seems to be more different from every other moon of every planet. And that's just amazing. And it really excites my students here at Berkeley. But these have to be kept separate. Anytime you are told that your satellite is going to be on the space shuttle, you know the price is going to go up by a factor of 10, because this thing has to be made super, super safe, so nothing can go wrong that possibly harms the person who's along for the ride. Not only that, but with someone along for the ride, it's not going to be the kind of quiet ride that you would really like. Essentially, every scientist I know who's put things in space rolls his eyes up when he hears people say, we need astronauts in space because the science will be better. It just makes the science much more expensive. This is the golden age of robots. We need more robots in space. That's how we explore the solar system.
We just heard that. We've just seen the success on the Mars. A lot of the Mars robots have been sending back.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning, exciting, thrilling. And we're able to send so many robots to Mars because we don't have that huge expense of putting humans there. If we put humans in space, let's be honest about it. We're doing it for the adventure. If the public wants to support the adventure aspect of it, I have no problem with that. But let's just keep the science separate.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Talking with Richard Mueller, author of Physics for Future Presidents. President-elect Obama talked about spurring the economy with the hundreds of billions of dollars invested in different kinds of projects. If you had to pick one out to spur the economy, would it be something in the energy field, creating energy?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, that is really the big issue right now. There is, of course, a lot of money going into it, but it's the sort of thing where some money can help. There's a huge amount of money going into solar, and I think solar is very close to breakout, and that's going to be enormously important in the developing world.
Why not bail out, so to speak, the solar industry instead of bailing out? Why single out any one industry? You know,
what
if we could
really
build
need
a whole new infrastructure, we build the jobs of tomorrow.
I think what we really need is the rapid development of these new technologies, because unless this technology, you know, people say, let's set an example. Let's set an example for China and India. The problem is, if the example we set is that we become green with expensive technology, then they will not be able to follow our example. And according to the IPCC and every other analyst, the future carbon dioxide growth is going to come primarily from the developing world, from mm-hmm. China, from India, from Russia, as odd as it is to include them in the developing world. And so we need to develop technology that is inexpensive. Otherwise, they can't follow our example. Mm-hmm. Best technology, of course, is conservation technology. So we need to be doing a lot on that.
This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, talking with author Richard Mueller, author of Physics for Future Presidents. You know, we hear a lot when I go to conferences about energy, there's a lot of talk about these energies. And one of the main talks, whether you're talking nuclear or solar or wind, is we don't have the grid, you know, to move it around like we would need to. Why don't we talk about investing and building a new grid?
Well, this is exactly what T. Boone Pickens wants the government to do. He wants to build the wind power, which is actually the cheap part, and have the government put in the infrastructure, the grid, which is the expensive part. It's just money and right of way. So it turns out to be a legal mm-hmm. issue. If you want to get the wind power from the center of the United States out to the coast, you need that better grid. It really is an important thing mm-hmm. to do.
This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow, talking with Physics for Future Presidents, Richard Mueller. Any other science, any other physics that you would put at the top of your list that the president-elect needs to study?
I think President Obama is going to be the only person in the country who is capable of convincing the public that there are two technologies that are an essential part of this spectrum of green energies. One of them is clean coal. He's already indicated he understands clean coal and he's in favor of it, but the public is very confused over that. They say it's an oxymoron.
Exactly.
There's no such thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. He has to explain to the public. This is why he has to really understand it deeply. He has to be the one who explains it to the public. He also has to explain to the public the fact that nuclear waste storage is a solved problem.
That's another hard sell.
It's a hard sell, but But he's the one person who can do it. If he were to ask me to do it, nobody would trust me. I'm just some scientist from Berkeley. But if he understands it so that he knows and can, he's the one person who can convince people that we need this too. Nothing bothers me more than greener than thou people who say, I don't think we should have nuclear, we should have solar. The fact is, unless we go in all of these directions, we're not going to solve the problem.
Dr. Mueller, thank you for taking time to be with us today. Richard Mueller is professor in the Department of Physics at the UC Berkeley and author of Physics for Future Presidents. It's actually a book that the President-elect Obama should be reading. Thank you.
Thank you.